I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, and you're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. What should you know about preeclampsia? It's a condition that affects many pregnant women, and it can lead to loss of life. On The Glass Ceiling, we put a spotlight on solutions to the obstacles and challenges that women face every day. Now, those challenges are not just political and economic and social. They are also medical, like preeclampsia. So we're here to help women and those who support women understand this pregnancy condition in the hope that we can help improve outcomes. My guest is returning to the show. She's the practice manager at One Wellness Center, Dr. Chibuki Ayibo. Welcome back to The Glass Ceiling.
Hi, Sandra. Thanks for having me back here.
Yes, Lagos, I know you have questions, so let's hear them. What do you want to know about preeclampsia? What do you want to know about detection? What do you want to know about treatment? What do you want to know about management? 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. Dr. Aigbe, let's start with the basics. What is preeclampsia?
So, you know, when you reached out to me about this preeclampsia and eclampsia, I'm like that was one of the first medical condition I knew as a child. And that's because one of our family friends, artisan friend, he got married, and I know his wife was pregnant. Everybody was happy. Next thing, his wife passed. And my mom kept on, she was so upset because she kept on telling him, I told you to check. And the woman had, could have had preeclampsia. And I wonder, it was such a big word for me as a child. So I was quite, sensitized about it quite early on, even before medical school or anything like that. So it is a, preeclampsia is a condition that affects pregnant women. Preeclampsia and eclampsia. I'll take my time to differentiate between both of them.
Okay.
And why, you know, it's easy for, quote unquote, easy for one to spot it or diagnose it is that it is hugely characterized by, you know, marked edema. So you see somebody who is pregnant and all of a sudden the person has ballooned up, you know. So yes, people gain weight in pregnancy, and, you know, because pregnancy is a hypodynamic state, there's a lot of fluids going on, but it, the swelling can be actually abnormal, so it needs to be checked. Preeclampsia is characterized by a raise in blood pressure, so continuous raise in blood pressure, and proteinuria, that's when you have proteins in the urine, okay, and then you have edema. So, you know, people will always say, when I get pregnant, my leg swells. It may or may not be normal. So those things need to be checked. So when you have marked edema, swollen legs, big tummy, big nose, you know, with raised in blood pressure, that could be preeclampsia.
Interesting. And I find that it's also interesting that the things that you've just mentioned now are some of the most common things with pregnant women. You know, a woman is pregnant, her nose is big, her feet are swollen, she has some swelling in some other parts of her body. And, you know, people have just come to expect, and she get belle nana, so people will get belle, they be. Now, the normal things where they call with belle be that, you know. So to now hear that, okay, well, these are things that could also be symptoms of preeclampsia. I have to wonder, do these things have to exist with other things for people to say, okay, you know, it could be preeclampsia, maybe I should go and get checked? Or is it once my feet and my nose are swollen, I should just go to a doctor and say, look, test me for preeclampsia?
Now, the thing is, just like every other vague symptom like headaches, okay, because Nigerians typically have a very poor health-seeking behavior, we take symptoms as normal, right? Nothing is normal. So when you have something that is aberration from the normal, you should get it checked, okay? So nobody's going to say, my nose is swollen, so I might just be pregnancy. No. So that is why one of the big things that is preached on with women who just miss their periods. Once you miss your period, first confirm your pregnancy clinically and then register for antenatal by your 12th week, because that in itself is your easiest way to be able to diagnose, to pick, to spot anything that's wrong with you. You know, not missing your antenatal clinic. You know, so the easiest way I would say is, you know, registering for antenatal early, as 12 weeks, whether you have done 10th pregnancy. So because on women here in Nigeria, we believe, oh, I've had 6 children now. What is the 7th one? Forgetting that the more pregnancies you have, the more inclined you are to having a complication. So when you register for antenatal, your blood pressure is checked on every visit. And your urine is checked on every visit for that protein we talked about. And also your weight is also checked.
Your so what? If there's any the network dropped out there for a bit. Your weight.
Yes.
Oh, wait.
So your weight is checked every time you go to the clinic for antenatal. Not because the doctor wants to say, ha 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 ha, you're fat. Oh no. So the reason is that we want to see there's a permissible amount of weight you can gain during pregnancy.
Okay.
If it's above that, certain things you want to look out for. You want to check for your sugar, you want to check for this proteinuria and diagnose your preeclampsia, because you know that water is weight. Do you understand? So if your body is not, you know, absorbing or let me just say it like that. I try to keep it simple. If your body is not absorbing enough water, you would have edema and that will make you gain weight. People have always wondered what really causes this preeclampsia, right? It's not a straight. So pregnancy is a hyperdynamic state. There's a lot going on with your hormones, with your sugar, with your blood pressure, with the fluid in your system. And there's a new organ that grows once you get pregnant, and that's called the placenta. Now that placenta is like the life bank of your baby, and your body tries to feed that placenta to feed you. So with the placenta is highly vascularized with new vessels rich in blood, oxygen, all of that. So if your body's not able to maintain that fluid level, so to say, you would have edema, okay, and you would have raised blood pressure, and your kidneys will not be able to absorb as much water, causing urine to go into your protein to go into your urine. So it's a triad. It's not when you just have only proteinuria. It's not when you have just raised blood pressure, because that could also be hypertension in pregnancy or pregnancy hypertension. Those are three diagnosis, yes. So that's what's going on there.
And that's why the recommendation is for women to go to antenatal as frequently as possible. Dr. Igbe, are there any known risk factors? Are particular groups of women, or women with particular profiles, women with particular attributes, are they more likely to get it when they're pregnant?
Yes, there's a long list of risk factors.
Wow.
You know, so it's a very, very long list. And like, I cannot overemphasize the need to, you know, go to visit a health facility once you're pregnant, because it's very easy to fall into any of these risk factors. So we don't have causes, but there are risk factors. One of which is important is if you have a previous history of preeclampsia. So if you've had a previous history, and many gynae pathologies are like that, if you've had a previous history before, you most likely have it again. Okay, and that is why you must divulge all information to your doctor when you're going into your antenatal, so they know what to preempt, so they know what to expect,
right?
Because there's a possibility that it may repeat itself in the current pregnancy.
Right.
Also, multiple pregnancy or multiple gestation. So if you're carrying more than one baby at a time, say twin, triplets, quadruplets, quintuplets, whatever, you would also have, because it's more stress on the body, physiologically. So you could have that preeclampsia.
Right.
If you already have blood pressure before. So remember I mentioned pregnancy-induced hypertension?
Yes.
I also mentioned hypertension in pregnancy. So these are two different things. Hypertension in pregnancy is that a non-hypertensive patient who becomes pregnant, who falls pregnant, like we like to say on the streets of Instagram. You have somebody who's pregnant, who's hypertensive, who falls pregnant. And then you now have somebody who was never hypertensive, has always been normotensive all their life. And then they now have hypertension bestowed onto them at pregnancy. That is, you know, after 20 weeks, that is pregnancy-induced hypertension. So if you have any of these two, you're already one leg away from having preeclampsia, because your kidneys might not be able to filter your urine properly, and then you can start passing protein through your urine. If you also have diabetes before pregnancy, either type 1 or type 2, if you had previous disease, because it already means that there was already compromise in your kidney. You get what I mean? If you had IVF, okay, if you had any sort of assisted reproductive procedure done. So we like to call all those, like in my clinic, you know, we would monitor you throughout. We want to make sure that all we're able to pick off any issues that might arise after an IVF cycle or anything like that. So that happens. And obesity is a terrible thing for us, the human body. It messes up with your physiology. So that, you know, is a no-brainer.
Obesity?
Go ahead.
Did you say obesity?
Yes, obesity. Yes,
okay,
obesity.
Okay. Okay.
For some reason, I don't know why, but if that your pregnancy is the first pregnancy you're having with your current partner, that's also a risk factor. You know, statistics show that. If you've had a family history of preeclampsia, of course. If maternal age is above 35 years, you could have preeclampsia. You still have to come again with having your children early. The body, the humans were physiologically, you know, prepared or made to have babies earlier. But, you know, for socioeconomic reasons, for religious reasons, a lot of people are not doing that. But I digress, that's a topic for another day. But we have seen that when you have, you know, late pregnancies after 35 years, then you could see a huge risk factor on having preeclampsia. And very commonly, if you, you know, we always preach, you know, family planning and all of that, but if your last pregnancy was over 10 years, getting pregnant again is going to cause a big load, physiological load on your body, and could lead to preeclampsia.
Okay, Lagos, join the conversation with your own questions now. 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. WhatsApp 080-959-75805. Sandra, good afternoon. When is the best time to go for antenatal for a new pregnant woman of 3 weeks? All right, Dr. Chibuki?
So 12 weeks. And when we say 12 weeks is that we want to, in the first trimester of pregnancy, that's where you record the highest level of miscarriages or abortions, right? And then you want to eliminate, I'm trying to be politically correct, but time, you want to eliminate the fact that you could lose a pregnancy, you can have a miscarriage in that first trimester. So if you have still through the first trimester, you have 50%, there's a 50% chance that your child may survive. It's not the age of viability, but that you're, I don't know if you get what I mean, you're certain that this is a pregnancy that might stay. So we want, so 12 weeks. So first, like I repeat, first, if you miss your period, you should go to the clinic so that you can appropriately date your pregnancy and you can clinically diagnose yourself of pregnancy, be diagnosed with pregnancy or cysts, okay? And that's the only way you're certain that is how old your gestation is. And then by 12 weeks, you register for antenatal. So 12 weeks is the prescription.
It's interesting that she said that, because when we're talking about miscarriages, we talked about miscarriages with Dr. Chibuki the last time she was here, and we talked quite a bit about how often women miscarry, and the miscarriage happens within those first 12 weeks. All right, let's talk to you now. My phone lines are ringing off the hook. Again, 0700-993-993-01465-7190-0700-993-993-993. This message says, I lost my younger sister to eclampsia in pregnancy. It usually comes with first pregnancy and people with twins. She had a set of twins. She went into coma. Unfortunately, she did not make it. Her feet were swollen. Her blood pressure was up. The doctor managing her case did not do well. They had no diesel in their generator. She started kicking. By the time she was moved to another hospital, it was too late. Ooh, I'm so sorry for your loss. So sorry, Motayo. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. What's your name, sir? Okay. Sorry about that. Give me a call back if you can. 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. Can I talk about what many people know about preeclampsia, right? So a lot of people know that, and I don't even know if we have time to get into this question because we have a break coming up very soon. But a lot of people know that preeclampsia can be fatal, you know, to pregnant women. What I want to know is, how does it kill?
So let me first start with preeclampsia is all this one I talked about. And then there's eclampsia. Eclampsia is when you, preeclampsia leads to eclampsia. Okay, so preeclampsia. Mm-hmm. Eclampsia is characterized by all of this plus or minus fitting, where you have seizures. So that's so sorry for the caller who lost her sister. Mm-hmm. Remember, she had, there were three. I could identify two risk factors there, which was that was her first pregnancy with her partner, okay? Mm-hmm. And also that she was carrying multiples, so she had twins. Mm-hmm. So those were two very important risk factors. So, and you know, she also mentioned that when she started fitting, it was already late.
Right.
Once she started fitting, after having seizures, that is the first and foremost, the cure. I remember in medical school, they said that the cure for eclampsia, and hypertensive pregnancy-induced hypertension is delivery.
Delivery.
So what you want to do, yes, is delivery. So whenever throughout your course of pregnancy, whenever you diagnose whether pregnancy-induced hypertension or preeclampsia, your goal is to deliver that child, because that is the only thing that will cure the mother of preeclampsia.
Okay, just pause it there. Pause it there. We'll come back to this specific thought when we come back from this break. Lagos, if you just tuned in, I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. I've got Dr. Chibuki Aigbe on the show with me. Dr. Chibuki is a practice manager at One Wellness Center, and she's talking to us today about preeclampsia. What should you know about it? You're hearing her talk about preeclampsia, eclampsia. She's about to tell us how exactly it kills, and she's saying to us the only way to cure it is to deliver the baby. And she was about to get into the details of how exactly that is the cure for this situation, and she'll tell us all of that after this break. We are live on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3, YouTube, Nigeria Info FM, and wherever you're going to, you can keep listening. Even if you have to leave your car, keep listening on www.nigeriainfo.fm.
This is the Glass Ceiling, on Hard Facts.
Lagos, I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. This is the Glass Ceiling, where we put a spotlight on solutions to the obstacles and challenges that women face every day. Those challenges are not just political, they're not just economic, they're not just social, they're also medical, like preeclampsia. So we're here to help women and those who support women understand this pregnancy condition. Hopefully we can help improve outcomes. My guest is the practice manager at One Wellness Center, Dr. Chibuki Aigbe. Dr. Chibuki Aigbe was telling us about how preeclampsia kills before the break. Dr. Chibuki, thank you so much for waiting with us during that break.
Yes, a very long break. Okay. So I think I was saying, so the cure to preeclampsia or hypertension in pregnancy-induced hypertension is delivery, okay?
Yeah.
So the mainstay of management is to be able to just maintain that blood pressure to just get the child to cross the age of viability, which is 28 years and 28 weeks, and see how long you can keep the child for. So if somebody develops preeclampsia at, say, 30 weeks, what any good obstetrician wants to do is just deliver that baby, you know, via cesarean section, and then put the child in an incubator. So what happens is that you start, if you eventually have eclampsia, your feet, okay, and then you know when you feet, you lose preeclampsia already reduces oxygen perfusion into the newborn baby, the fetus in utero, okay? Mm. You reduce the oxygen, the blood and the oxygen gets into the baby. And that's why even sometimes if you do not eventually get to eclampsia, you might have fetal growth restriction because the baby is not growing as it should. It's not receiving the nutrients as it should. So the baby might come out small. So those are one of the complications, okay? Mm. If the mother eventually feeds, you have further reduced oxygen perfusion to that baby and to the mother's brain. So you should cause death, okay, mm-hmm. because there's oxygen there, and, you know, cause death to the baby in utero because there's also loss of oxygen. And then there's also end organ damage, like kidney failure, liver failure. There's a complication even called HELLP. Okay, it's called hemostasis, elevated liver enzymes, and low platelet counts.
Okay.
So red blood cells start to break down, you know, and, you know, further complicating the reduced efficacy of your kidneys and your liver, and it will cause death.
Hmm.
Okay. And even this, was it on this show we talked about placenta abruption? The separation from the separation of the placenta from the inner lining of the uterus. Okay, that also happens in preeclampsia. So all these things are emergencies that can result from poorly managed preeclampsia, even in eclampsia itself, and then eventually death.
Goodness.
Oh, that sounded.
I know it did. It did. It really did. Okay. What percentage of cases end in death?
About as high as 15%. So as high as 15%, up to 15% of cases lead to death.
Is that quite high?
So, yes, it's quite high. It's very high. And a lot of people will say, I say it all the time, people say she was not sick or she just died.
Mm.
You know, they carry the belen normal. They just threw an arrow. She just had to shake. She died.
They threw an arrow.
You know, so things like that. Because I've seen it a lot. You know, a woman is carrying, so she's having excessive headaches.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like regular signs of raised blood pressure. Mm. She's having excessive headaches. She's having visions. And they just, you know, she just carries on herself as belek, belek, belek. It's normal sign of pregnancy.
Mm.
It's not. It's not. Pregnancy disease, so to say. So every abnormality that you face or you see, should discuss it with your doctor, not just Google.
Okay. I feel like maybe I should bring you back so that we can have a conversation about pregnancy itself, what to expect when you're expecting.
Yeah.
But Lagos, join the conversation 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. After how many weeks does preeclampsia become detectable?
You can have preeclampsia at any age, but commonly is within 20 weeks of pregnancy, because that is when your body goes hyperdrive. For lack of a better explanation. Yeah.
Mm. That's when your body becomes aware. Okay. Baby day here. All right, let's give
you. Your baby's growing bigger, the placenta is bigger.
Yeah.
You know, so it's actually more work. It's about where the work peaks.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
Now, how is it diagnosed? How is it detected and diagnosed?
Like, so if you look at the symptoms, okay,
mm-hmm.
we mentioned that it's a triad. We've had edema, mm-hmm. okay, marked edema. We have raised blood pressure.
Doctor, we don't go to school, please. What's edema?
Swelling.
Uh-huh.
Retention of fluid. Swelling caused by fluid. Not swelling where you knock your leg on something.
Okay.
No. Swelling, where there's fluid retention in your feet,
mm-hmm.
okay, that rises up. So you have from your feet to your ankle to your shin to your knee.
Mm.
You know, sometimes I even have edema that rises up all the way to your sacrum, your back, your lower back, right? So you have people who have edema on their fingers, their face, everywhere is puffy, their tummy. So that's very important, okay? So the history and physical examination can be used to diagnose. Also, like I mentioned, if you go for your antenatal in any good hospital where you're having your antenatal done, your antenatal checks, primary healthcare center, secondary, tertiary, you will do a routine urinalysis. And what that urinalysis does, it checks for your protein, it checks for your sugar, it checks if there's blood in your urine, It checks for so many things, okay? It can even detect infection. So when there's protein in your urine, it shows many things. It could be an infection. It could also be this, preeclampsia. So we're in people who have a preeclampsia, you have more than one plus of protein in their urine. So then it's signals, it rings a bell in your clinician's head or your midwife's head that there's a problem somewhere. And of course, to go to your clinic, you check your blood pressure. Once you come, they check your blood pressure, they check your weight, and it's okay. The last time you were here, you weighed 70 kg. Now you're weighing 5. That's a lot of weight to gain in the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks, as the case may be. So that's an indication that there's something wrong.
And you would say, of course, that antenatal visits increase the odds of detection, yes?
Yes, and your choice, your chance of having a normal pregnancy and being alive and delivering a child who's healthy, because antenatal does prevent maternal and neonatal death. Okay, and it helps detect if there are any anomalies, detect or preempt complications that might come up in the nearest future during your pregnancy journey. So antenatal does the magic.
This message here on WhatsApp says, can you spell out pre whatever the topic is? Preeclampsia. Preeclampsia is spelled PreeclampsiaPreeclampsia. Anaya Sylvester says, what are the routine supplements that a pregnant woman should take for a healthy pregnancy and for the well-being of the baby? Dr. Chibuki?
I'm a little skeptical to answer that question because Nigerians love to self-medicate. However, I will give us broad medication so that you know what to look out for with your health practitioner, okay? So me telling you, take this, people will go and take this, forgetting that they're idiosyncrasies, their medications you shouldn't take. Like if your medication somebody who has sickle cell should take will be different from what who doesn't have sickle cell should take in pregnancy, things
that's
like
fine.
That. But what we want to, you know, generally do is even before conception, we want to make sure that you have normal blood levels, because like I mentioned, pregnancy is a hemodynamic state. So you're feeding somebody else, so your blood levels might drop. So we want to be able to build your blood levels to an optimal state. Secondly, we also want to give a medication. I would state this one: folic acid before pregnancy and during the whole pregnancy, especially the first trimester, second trimester, that would prevent neural tube defects like spinal bifida, where the spinal column is not well formed. Okay, and there are some babies who have tails, and there are babies who have holes in their back, and then there are some babies who have big head where there's water in the head. Okay. Quite traumatic, yes. So that also prevents that. And we also want to sustain your blood levels that we have built up before pregnancy and throughout pregnancy. So there are those supplements. What we'd like to preach the most actually is optimal diets. Okay, you want to be taking lots of green leafy vegetables and fruits as well, to help build your micronutrient store.
Okay, all right. Let's take a few calls. 99.3, hello.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening. Nene, welcome.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. My younger sister, incidentally, myself and my younger sister were always getting pregnant at the same time.
Okay.
So for her first baby, and then, of course, she calls me the ethical one. I would always go for my antenatal, and I always go with my urine, because then they'll tell us, your first urine of the day, bring it along. My sister will never remember to bring her urine.
Aww.
So one day, that one morning, one antenatal morning, I actually woke her up. Yeah, go and pee today and come with your urine. And the day she remembered and came with her urine, she was admitted that day.
Oh my!
And she had, and they had, because they detected protein in her urine,
and
she had, and she had preeclampsia. Before you know it, and so I'm wondering, she had been going for antenatal. Yes, they had recognized or detected that she had issues with her with blood pressure. Okay. But I'm wondering why they couldn't detect that, because after a while she couldn't see. It affected her vision. Ooh. By the time they finished the operating on the child, I think the next day they had to bring out that child. Ooh. They just gave her injections for, I think, the lungs, if I remember clearly now, okay. to strengthen the lungs, and then they had to bring out the baby. Ooh. Because at some point she couldn't see. She had lost her vision. Immediately after the operation, she couldn't see and all that. It was really, really serious.
Traumatic.
So, my question now, I'm wondering why it had to be at the point where she brought the urine that they said, okay, there's something happening here. Mm. Why couldn't they see it with other things? Like, she had edema, she had the swellings, and then she had the blood pressure. Mm. Why did it have to be with the urine? You know, that then you know, oh, there's something serious here.
Mm. Okay, yeah. Well, Dr. Chibuki, that's for you to answer.
Me, don't say it's for me to answer. I was not there.
You're the doctor now. I'm not the doctor.
It's fine, to be honest. But like I mentioned, it's kind of like a triad. So you actually need, so if the doctor had seen that she was edematous, mm-hmm. and they had seen that she was hypertensive, mm-hmm. they ought to have requested for on-the-spot urinalysis. They didn't have to wait for whenever she brought her pee.
Hmm.
You get what I mean?
Okay.
But you would still be able to, you have to be the first pee of the day.
Okay.
So first pee of the day, always say first pee of the day, because you know you haven't peed for a while and your all the quote-unquote waste has come.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But in a severe case, you will still pee in abnormality in the urine for the rest of the day. So it's that was an oversight, I would believe.
Okay.
I wasn't there. I don't know whether they had asked or I don't know ahead. So I say for Dr. No. But you know, since the doctor was edematous and her blood pressure was up, then they should have made sure that they were able to do a urinalysis at that spot, you know, not wait for whenever she brought her pee.
Hmm.
And yes, that blurry vision, remember, had mentioned it. In fact, you can have blurry vision to complete loss of sight, actually.
Right. So you can have blurry vision
and then it can
lead to a loss of sight.
Yes. And remember, I said that the only cure, that's the sure banker cure, is delivery. That's it. So, of course, there are other things that can be given, you know, mm-hmm. you know, trying to manage blood pressure. If the child is not, you know, age of viability yet, or the child's not mature or whatever, they will do bed rest, give you some other medication to help control the blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But that does not cure the preeclampsia.
Yeah.
The delivery of the child
is what does. Have you had situations where people present too late? I guess that's why, of course, you present too late, you become part of the 15% of people who unfortunately die from preeclampsia or from eclampsia now, because it's the eclampsia itself that kills. Yeah,
that kills. And preeclampsia can also kill, you know. Apart from leading to eclampsia, it can give you end organ damage, okay? However, I would say that even this 15% I'm calling is only both statistics. So I do not have the Nigerian statistics. It might even be slightly higher, especially because we have very few medical centers, all right? People are still doing church, giving birth in church, giving birth in traditional
birth centers.
It baffles me that people who go to all these places, okay, and very poorly, you know, there are some community health workers who open up clinics and call them maternity homes, and people say, oh, I'm doing antenatal.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the person who's attending to is not well qualified and doesn't even know what to look out for.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
It's funny how people go, I've seen it over and over again. People go into one of these places, have their children. When there's a complication, they go up to the hospital. I'm right. Like, so you know where the hospital is. Why are you coming now?
Why you didn't start early? I wish we had more time to stay on this, but we are completely out of time. It happens to us all the time,
yeah.
Me and Dr. Chibuki. But thank you so much, Doc, for your time. I really appreciate the knowledge you've shared on the show today. If you're available next week, Wednesday, let's talk about pregnancy in general, what to expect when you're expecting. Dr. Chibuki Aigbe is the practice manager at One Wellness Center. Thanks for your time today, Doc.
Thank you.
All right.